We acknowledge the traditional custodians of the unceded lands this podcast is recorded from, Bundjalung Country and the Cammeraygal Country.
We pay our respects to the elders of past and present and celebrate the diversity of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples and their ongoing cultures and connection to country.
You're listening to the Mum's Gone Climbing podcast.
We're on a mission to deliver high-quality climbing and adventure resources to badass climbing mamas.
And redefine motherhood one episode at a time.
With incredible guests.
Very bad humour.
And just enough Kleenex moments to keep things interesting.
So grab yourself a cuppa or plug us in on the way to the crag.
As we bring you the latest beta from the Mum's Gone Climbing crew. Hi guys, welcome to the show. I am Eva Rosenbaum.
And I am Noel Gao, and we will be your hosts for today's podcast. We've got the incredible Leah Crane coming back to chat to us. But before we have a chat about this episode, we wanted to acknowledge that it's been a challenging couple of weeks around the world. We've just had a referendum in Australia that's taken a huge toll on many, especially Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples. And the conflict in Israel and Palestine is devastating, and the impacts are, you know, being felt, rippling across the world for many communities.
Yeah, it's really important in these times to reach out if you need help and to check in on your friends and family. In Australia, you can call Lifeline 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on 131114. And for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples, you can also call 13YARN 139276, which is also available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Yeah, so definitely if you do feel like you need support, there are people there. And, you know, we just wanted to hold some space before we got into this episode because it's obviously a very heavy time for so many people, and we really wanted to acknowledge that before we got into the beautiful conversation that we had with Leah Crane. But Eva, before we talk about that, what's going on with our sponsors at the moment?
Well, the wonderful team at Climbing Anchors. I love Climbing Anchors, can I just say?
We both love Climbing Anchors so much.
We do.
They're just such a beautiful team. Like, I can't even.
I know. Yeah. They're just fabulous. Anyway, they have continued, obviously, not just as sponsors, to support the Mum's Gone Climbing community with a pretty exciting deal.
Exclusive just for MGC people and listeners of this podcast.
Exactly. Exclusive for MGC. Have created a dedicated discount code. You get 12% off everything in store and online except for sale items. The code is MGC2023, and we'll pop it in the show notes for you to use. But how cool!
It is so cool. So you can use that online, and you can use that at any of their stores. Where are their stores, Eva?
Their stores are in New South Wales, in Alexandria. They've got mini stores at 9 Degrees in Lane Cove and Waterloo. And then in Victoria, they've got a mini store at Fitzroy.
I love it. So, yeah, go in there. Go buy yourself some gear and just blame Mum's Gone Climbing for your spending. But at least we got your discount. And our other amazing sponsor for this episode and for Series 4 is Urban Climb. They have three amazing gyms in Brisbane at Milton, Newstead and West End, another gym up in Townsville, and two down in Victoria at Blackburn and Collingwood. We love these guys, but I did also want to point out that being a member at their gym or going to their gym isn't only about climbing. They also have like amazing workshops and courses and yoga and fitness classes and mobility classes. And you can do all this at Urban with their absolutely beautiful Urban team.
They've got it all. They're more than a climbing gym, and they've been with us from the beginning. So go and check them out.
The next thing I wanted to chat about is actually pretty funny, because you would have heard us talking about on the last episode that the Mum's Gone Climbing documentary is in another film festival in Europe. And I tried really hard to pronounce this festival name well, and I thought I did pretty well. And Eva actually congratulated me on it. But apparently my French accent is not as good as what we thought. My beautiful mum from our Belgium Mum's Gone Climbing community, Celine, sent me a little message of like a little giggle, and she was like, "You sound a little bit more Italian than French." Which, look, I'll own that. I have no idea, but I'm going to try again.
I mean, they're close, right? I think you did great, but I am very happy that we get some insider info so that, you know, you can perfect things. Go, we're ready. We're ready.
I'm still probably not going to do this correct, but from the 2nd to the 5th of November in Annecy in France, the Femmes en Montagne Film Festival is on, and the Mum's Gone Climbing documentary is in there for the first time with French subtitles. So
woohoo!
Woohoo! Go and check it out if you are around that area in France. It's going to be an absolutely incredible festival. I really wish that we could teleport there. But we won't be teleporting there, Ava, will we? Because where are we going to be in a couple of days?
Well, you will be teleporting. I'll be slightly teleporting to the Blue Mountains.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a big Mum's Gone Climbing crew meetup. Would you call it that?
Actually, to be fair, it was 5 people going on a holiday and somehow it snowballed. It wasn't even a Mum's Gone Climbing event, but somehow it's turned into one. And it'll be the first time Eva and I have met face to face, which I'm anticipating is going to be incredible and probably emotional.
Definitely emotional.
But I'm so excited. I've never been to the Blue Mountains, and that's kind of like Eva's home crag, I guess, if you want to say it that way. And
I love that. Imagine that, the whole Blue Mountains, the home crag.
Well, yeah.
The best.
You just own it. So it's going to be incredibly exciting, and hopefully we'll get to send you some hilarious snippets from that trip of, or we won't, and we'll just have to tell you because we'll be too busy having fun. That could also happen. But onto this episode with Leah Crane. If you didn't listen to our last episode, go back and do it because it's amazing. You get to be introduced to this absolutely beautiful woman. And she's a climbing coach. She has been climbing for 30 years. She has competed at the highest level of climbing and also coached Shauna Coxey all the way to the Tokyo Olympics. And she's just talking to us about motherhood and training and this cart that we didn't know we needed to know about, but it's like the best thing in the world.
I could comment on the fact that the cart, yes, this fabulously amazing cart is quite relevant to me now because I have not been on the cart for I would say a solid 3 months. And, you know, it's quite comforting to know that it's still rolling. Anyway, everyone at home is going to be like, what are they talking about? But I suppose that's why you have to listen to the episode.
You definitely have to listen to this episode. And just wanted to remind you at the end of the last one, we kind of had asked Leah a question and then went into fits of giggles because her son Koa, who's just learned how to blow raspberries, started blowing these amazing raspberries. And then Eva and I attempted to also blow the raspberries and failed miserably.
Did I fail? I feel like I'm good at raspberries.
All right, Eva. But you're not like, you know Koa, and that's fine.
This is true.
But what was that question? Because she's about to drop into the answer for us.
That was a really cool question, actually. We wanted to know what Leah's advice was for mothers who have such little time to climb, where it's just these bite-sized pieces. What would she suggest?
Awesome. Let's hear that answer from the amazing Leah Crane.
Yeah, so we were talking before about going climbing, and it's you just go to the climb wall and see what happens. And I am there. Like sometimes I get to climb, sometimes I don't get to climb. And that might be because people want to talk. That might be because he doesn't want to chill out. Obviously, my other half comes with me and we like chop it in, you know, we take it in turns and stuff. But I think the thing that I've realised is I almost go to the climbing wall with a bit of an idea of what I might want to do or work on that session. So sometimes I actually haven't climbed for a while, so I'm going to drop the grade, although I've already dropped the grade quite a lot. Drop the grade even more. And actually just do some volume, try and do as much climbing as I can before you need to feed, kicks off, whatever it is. And that is almost a bit, it's more digestible. It's more, I'm more able to feel like I've actually done something or succeeded at the wall. Then maybe I am like, okay, so not that I'm fingerboard at the moment, but if I wanted to do a fingerboard, that would be a session. So I'd go in, warm up, do a fingerboard, done, achieved, leave again. Maybe I haven't been doing many jumps in a while, so I would actually go to a session, go to a wall and do a session that was only dynamic moves. What I don't recommend is, if you've not done dynamic moves for a long time, is go to the wall and just do an hour of dynamic moves, because your shoulders and elbows will not thank you.
Especially postpartum, right?
Definitely. And I definitely felt the strain, you know, when I went back, so everything was super easy. But I think for any person that doesn't have much time, is try and think about what it is that you want to work on for that specific session and just put it into a bite-sized chunk that's easily attainable, tick it off and leave. You feel accomplished. You feel like you've actually got something done. And, you know, like, if it doesn't work and even the bite-sized chunk didn't get ticked, then it's not going to make you feel very good. But that is life. That is how it's going to happen. And I think that's something that you have to accept being a parent, is you're on their timeline now, not your own. If you've got the luxury of being on your own timeline, then great. But a lot of us don't. So, like, for example, he's been a bit ill, I've been ill, I've not actually climbed now for maybe like 2 weeks. So next time I go to the wall, I'm just gonna go and like actually see what happens and have like what I call a free session. So just go and climb, just see what takes my fancy. You know, if there's some harder climbs in there, great. If there's not, then that's fine as well. But then the sessions after that, I'd like to like actually concentrate on something. So something that I find quite hard at the moment, I had cesarean for my birth. This little one's heart rate was dropping a bit too low, so they were like, right, let's get him out. Kind of a far cry from the home birth that I had planned, but never mind. So now, like, climbing overhang, it just feels really hard. I'm like, come on, body. And there's a really, really weird disconnect there, because in my brain I'm like, yeah, fine, okay, let's get on. And then I'm like, oh no, like, my brain and my body are not on the same frequency right now. Like, they're not matching up. And that's really confusing me at the moment. But again, pulling that back, taking my time and stripping it down into basics that I want to do has been really useful for me. So that's what I'd kind of say, like, whether you're a new parent, or I was going to say an old parent. I don't mean an old parent. I mean, you had your kid a while ago. That was the wrong word to use.
An established parent.
Some of us are old parents. It's okay.
Whether you're a new parent or you've had a child a while ago, yeah, really, really break it down into achievable blocks, whether or not that having a fingerboard session, seeing your friends having a coffee, and maybe having a climb, like, get it ticked off, write it in and allow yourself that space. Almost. Like, I would like to think that in everyone's climbing, there's at least one session in there that's just go to the wall and see what happens.
That's all my sessions.
They're perfect. Like, but look at the smile on your face, it's right? Do you have fun when you're there? Do you like it? Does it? Yep. You know, yep. That's what climbing is for a lot of people, and that's You know, I think that there's a big question there, like, what does climbing mean to you? And you're like, oh god, like, these questions, but. Actually, it's like when someone asks you, why do you go climbing? You're like, because I do, I like it. What does climbing mean to you? And actually, if you think about that question, for me, that's changed now. Climbing meant to me was an outlet for like a physical exertion, was to see how far I could push myself, see if I could achieve my goals. And now I'm like, climbing to me is going, seeing my friends, being in a space and environment that I connect with. You know, if someone says to you, like, have you found your tribe? You know, do you feel like you belong? That's what climbing is to me. Personally, I don't feel the need to ever be what I was before, because I'm totally different now. And so I just go to the wall to have a climb. Whatever that looks like.
I think it's really awesome hearing how, not, I don't want to say accepting, because that implies that it's something that you wouldn't want to accept, but I think
you just seem to have this like really positive, you know, well, this is where we are now and I'm happy and I love it. And it's not what you always hear from people who, like, from athletes who have, you know, spent their lives pushing and training. Sometimes there's a real struggle, I think, to accept, or even non-athletes, right? So even non-professional climbers, there's a real struggle to accept the changes that your body goes through, the ability that maybe you once took for granted that now suddenly you're like, whoa, like he's saying, you know, you're on an overhang and you're like, hang on, what's going on?
My arms don't work. Yeah.
Yeah. But you have this really beautiful, like, yeah, this is great. This is what I'm doing now. It's really lovely to hear.
I think an important part of that is understanding your character. So I've done a little bit of work in the past on, like, there's a personality test that you can do, and I don't mean like a Facebook, what animal character are you? Like, I mean, like, I paid
evidence-based.
Yeah. I paid to do a bit of a personality test and answer those questions. It took like half an hour. And what came back was kind of my strengths were empathy, adapt, patience. Do you mind? I'm trying to talk. empathy, adapt, patience. And I really understand that part of my character. And I think that also now that how I feel about climbing and like having a child and where I am in life, I've done the things that I've done in the past. And that's not to say I'm never going to do them again or be where I was again, but I'm so content and happy with where we are. And climbing is a thing that I enjoy and it will always be there. To what level? I don't really care. Like, you know, I don't need, again, this is personal to me. I don't need that level of climbing to be the thing that makes climbing good for me or something that I love. For me, it's about the movement and like the feeling on the wall and understanding that part of my personality. I think it was quite an important part of that because it actually puts me at peace with... Oh dear. It puts me in a really kind of nice headspace with, you know, accepting, like you said, you know, you don't really want to use that word, but I have had a baby and I have, you know, climbed at World Cups in the past and, you know, been at probably my physical peak potentially back then. I don't know what's on the road ahead of me and I actually don't know what I'm going to be psyched for. I might in 6 months, a year, however long, be like, right, I'm going to climb harder than I've ever climbed in my life. And cool, I'm here for that. But equally, I might be like, I just want to go surfing. Like, yeah, I used to go climbing. That was something that I used to do and I loved it. So I think it's really important for the person and their personality traits and what drives you in life. Your audio on this is probably going to be shocking because it's just going to be babbling. Yeah, I think it's important to understand your own character and to know what drives you and to not get, if you don't want it to, not let it stress you out that you're not necessarily climbing again, like immediately or in 6 months or whenever. Just kind of, for me, it's about being present, it's about being his mom, allowing myself time, giving him time and space, love, attention. Like you said, like yours are, was it 11 and 9? Like, I feel like I'm going to blink and he's going to be that old. And I'm like, oh, I was stressing so much about what grade I was climbing and not, you know, just sort of enjoying where I was. That's, but again, my personality traits of like adapting and like all of that stuff and being, I always say I'm a bit more of a realist. You know, what will be, there are things outside my control and I'm okay with that. All of these kind of things is me. Without knowing me, obviously the first time you've met me, so that's kind of a bit of a kind of a personality background, I guess, on why I might just seem like, whatever, like climbing, cool, yeah, sometimes I do it, sometimes I don't. Like, I might come across as quite nonchalant, but there's been a lot of understanding and acceptance there, and I knew that was already going to happen before I had him.
That's it. And I think you're right. Like, it is different personality types and it's going to be harder for some people to, yeah, be adaptable and to sink into new situations, like, because of our different personalities. But I think you made some really good points. I just, like,
I feel like everyone is going to be cracking up listening to this. Like, it's just like, yes, Koa, you were definitely like, Izzy does really cute stuff, but Koa's outdoing her.
This is the best baby audio we've ever had.
But no, I think I really actually do like your suggestion of, okay, yes. Because I feel like I've kind of slipped into where Eve is at as well, where it's been so long of let's just go climbing and it's going to be more like we're going to chat and coffee. And then, like, I get frustrated because I've, like, been on a plateau for 5 years. But
And you want some direction, right?
Yeah, but I love that idea of, okay, it doesn't mean that, you know, I'm going to focus on doing this regime every time I go, but more like chunking it down into actually things that are achievable. Because I think that's the other thing that can happen when we decide, okay, I'm done with being on my plateau. I want to, like, push through this. And you can get, like, this, like, rigid plan of what you're going to do, which is just a little bit overwhelming, especially if your kid then gets a virus the next week and you're out again. So I really love that idea of going to the gym and focusing on, like you said, like, okay, I'm going to focus on doing dynos today, or I'm going to do a decent fingerboard session today. I think that's really, really cool. The other thing that I really liked that I'm going to share with our local group here, in that video that you did about with progress through play, and I think it was it Ned that you were doing the video with? I'm trying to remember who.
Jed.
You. Jed. And how you were mucking around on climbs that were easier, like juggier climbs, but like, say, missing a hold or only using one arm. And because, I mean, that's another issue that we seem to have when we're not going super often and we're not getting past the strength level of being able to climb harder stuff, is then you're just stuck on the same old thing and it gets so boring. And then you get even more, Eva's nodding. I feel like like, oh my gosh, I'm bored because I'm just on the ladder climbs, but that's really all my fingers can take at the moment. And this is just shit because I feel like I'm getting nowhere and it's not even fun because it's the same old stuff. But I love that idea of mixing it up that you were doing. It's really cool.
Well, you can become at the mercy of route setters then. And obviously it depends on your local gym, what, you know, if the progressions through your colour, what your grades, you know, are actually, is it steep? Is it like a big jump to your next grade or is it quite good? And I think it's sometimes hard to be creative and make up your own climbs, especially if you've never done it before. I think it's a skill that you need to acquire. So actually just challenging yourself to miss some holds out is a really easy place to start because, like you said, there are jug ladders at every wall, or hopefully there are anyway, and you have to move differently when you start eliminating holds, and you have to start using your hips and your legs more, and like you can't just plod your way around the wall. And like you said, if you get to the next grade circuit and they're just too hard now, or your fingers can't hold on because you've not climbed for a couple of months or years, it's just again a really nice way to explore creative movement. And I guess back, like, not stepping back too far, but another thing that I like to think of in my mind, I'm quite a visual person in my mind, is if you imagine a cart on a track and the track is time and the cart is whatever it is that you're wanting to move towards, that cart will never stop moving because time obviously doesn't stop. So the cart is going along and the cart will always move, and you can choose to hop on at any point. And sometimes you might choose to hop off, you'll be pushed off, you'll fall off in a ball of flames because something in life has like gone wrong. If you want to think of the cart or the wagon as like the training, you know, the training wagon, you can hop off and you can hop on, and allowing yourself time and space to do that, I think is really important. And not think, like you said, get stuck into a really rigid and strict regime. So you're on the wagon, I've got to do this, and it's not, you know, it's not, it might not last. And then you fall off and you think, oh, I've not done it. And then you just go back to having coffee and having a chat at the wall, and then you get frustrated with yourself again and you end up in this vicious cycle. Like, that cart's not going to stop, and you can choose whether to get on or whether to get off. And like, getting back on can be the next week, can be 2 weeks, can be 6 months. It doesn't matter when it is. but it's always going to keep rolling. So don't feel like you've missed it or like, you know, you're off the wagon, so that's it now, it's done.
Yeah.
Like, well, it's still right there next to you and it's still rolling along. So if you want to jump back on and that's going to the wall and having a coffee, or if that's ticking off your fingerboard session, like, I would always encourage people to just try and jump back on and just get a little bit of something done, because it's better than not getting back on at all.
I love that so much.
So much. I was actually like getting teary as you were saying it. I'm like, why am I getting emotional about the cart?
It's a long-winded way around of saying it, but the cart will always roll. So you can choose whether to get on at any point.
I've not heard that analogy before. And it's...
Can we call the episode that?
The cart
will always roll.
The cart will always roll. That'll confuse people. I love it.
So good.
They're like, what are they talking about now?
They don't want to listen.
Yeah, I know. I love it.
Yeah, and I think as well, like, if you want to be more imaginative, it could be like rolling through the desert and then through snow mountains, and like the different stages of life when you're a kid of becoming a mother, like have a, you know, an illness or whatever it is that life throws at you, you'll always go through different landscapes, but that car will never stop. So you choose whether to get on, or you choose, or maybe not choose, to get off. Sometimes something I'll choose for you. Like having a baby, you have to get off when you have a baby. Yeah. And then you choose when you want to get back on again.
Yeah.
No, I think that's actually really powerful, because I do feel that you can get in that space where you feel like you've missed it, like the train has left the station and you're not getting back. Like, and I think what's been really beautiful about our community, which has, you know, been going for 5 years now, is that we've created a bit of a vessel for, like, for people getting on the cart. And it's not just in climbing now. We go surfing, we go mountain biking, we take hiking trips. It's more just like this whole thing of like, let's go see if we can get out of our comfort zone, and giving permission for people to do that. Because I think, yeah, particularly for mums, I mean, even in today's society, there is a bit of that whole, like, are you really going to get out there and do that? Like,
it's more fun when there's more people in the car, for sure. If you've got the right people in the car, should I say. Obviously, you just don't want, like, any old person getting in there and ruining your vibe. But the car doesn't, like, it's not going super fast. It's right there next to you at walking pace. So that's why I'm saying it's easy to get on, but it's your choice to get on. And it's easy to get off. Like, there's no rush or anything like that. But again, and having those bite-sized chunks of what it is that you want to try and accomplish that day, and don't expect too much of yourself. Because as soon as you start that strict regime, or you start this, that, and the other, you have the sharp edges to fail on. Whereas if you kind of keep it nice and round at the start and easy, and you start to feel good about yourself, or you like find some friends along the way, make it more fun, bring you back to this fun thing, you're more likely to want to stay on the cart and not get off the cart. Lost my headphones. Oh my gosh, this is chaos. Sorry. Can you tell this is my first podcast that I've ever done?
I was literally, I'm honestly not just saying this now. I was literally just sitting here listening to you being like, this woman is nailing it. Like, she's just got this like really calm approach. She's got so wisdom. Now I'm seeing a cart. Like, it's just, I think you're doing great.
I love analogies, and I love visual learning and being able to like have a picture to think about when even when I'm coaching climbing. A lot of it I coach quite hands-on, and I coach quite a lot of sounds. So I get people to, like, if I need them to move their hips quicker if I need them to move their hips quicker in a jump, I'll click or clap. I'll be like, move fast, come on, do some claps, and then get on and do it. And I relate it to, yeah, a sound or an action. And I think that, again, that my coaching style-wise, I think that's just from gymnastics and learning sort of how to do moves there and how to coach gymnastics. And that's been a big influence on my climbing as well. So hopefully this one I'll be doing forward rolls at some point. But I'll give you a bit more time for that first.
Yeah, it's oh, now I've lost my train of thought. That's what happens. No, I just started thinking about my daughter's been We're home on school holidays at the moment in Australia. And yeah, she's been attempting to learn how to do handstands these school holidays. And it's been fun, but also just like, yeah. I had a laugh when you were saying about Shauna and her legs, not knowing where they were when they were upside down. Because, yeah, Ruby will, like, you know, pop up and I'll grab her legs. And I'm like, can you just put them together? And she's like, they are together. And I'm like,
honestly, like as soon as you turn upside down, the whole world goes out the window. But Shauna's really good at handstands now. I should obviously say that. She can do handstands really well. So there's a learning curve there. But yeah, the brain needs to recalibrate a little bit.
Yeah, no, and like literally just in the week that we've been practicing them, she's gotten so much better. I'm just like, oh, look at you go. It's really amazing. Just chipping away each day. I love it. Just getting on the car. The other question that I wanted to ask was, do you have any goals or projects in the future surrounding climbing? And I think we've kind of touched on that already when you're kind of like, maybe I'll do this, maybe I won't, maybe I'll become a surfer, maybe, you know. But I guess, and not even like for your own, you know, personal climbing thing of like, oh, are you going to like go out and try and climb something really hard or compete or whatever, but more like even if it's like a community more of an approach or something to do with your coaching, like is there anything on the horizon that's getting you excited?
I think at the moment I definitely feel like I'm in this kind of pit of bliss or bubble of bliss, if that's what you can call it, where I can't actually think too far ahead because I'm on maternity leave and, you know, I'm going day to day with him and I'm really enjoying it. Like I love it. And so in terms of goals and climbing, I can't actually see that far ahead. Before I went on maternity leave, before I had him, I started a parent club at my local wall where on Monday and Thursday mornings, you know, parents could come down and kind of create a bit of a community session where you could leave your baby or toddler or whatever on the floor and another parent or myself would look after it while you go and climb, then you come in and swap out and actually create a space where it felt like it was okay if you're a parent and you could come back climbing with a baby. Because I'd see some parents come down, might be the first time after having a baby, and they were like, can we come here? Is this space for us? And I don't think there's many climbing walls that actually make it obvious that it's absolutely okay for you to come with a baby and come climbing. And you know, there might be some rules and parameters that you need to abide by, you know, wall to wall, but I just wanted to create a space where it felt nice for a parent or a single parent, if you know, if you are a single parent or the other parents at work, that you could just come down and actually hang out with a baby and go climbing, and you know, that's okay, here is your space to do it. So that was quite nice that I could set that up before I went. Hopefully I'll obviously still be there when I go back at the wall, so I can pick that up again, but actually have a way better understanding of how people might be feeling. But I also set it up so that I could do free coaching with the parent to enjoy coming back into climbing, whether that was trying to gain confidence on the wall again or step off the floor for the first time. Or I always made it very clear that I was in no way postpartum trained or, you know, kind of understand from a medical side of things what was going on. It was purely from a climbing coaching side. So they would do what they felt comfortable with. But if they just wanted like a few drills and tips to practice when they were climbing on their own, whether it was missing a holdout or just like swinging their hips to get a bit of confidence and moving freely again and create a space where I'm like, no, you're a parent. Like, come back, come climbing. This is for you, even though you've got a little one. So that was kind of nice. And I think I obviously like to keep the momentum of that when I go back to work. But for my own climbing, it's just to see how it goes, just see what happens. I've climbed, like I was saying before, since I was 4 years old. I've trained for many years. Like, I've climbed for 30 years. Oh, my God, I didn't really quite realise that.
Crunching the numbers is hard as you get older. It's okay.
I've climbed for 30 years. I've trained for a really long time and it's actually really refreshing to not have to do that. I might, you know, get fixated on a project outside at some point, but right now I don't know what that's going to be and I'm absolutely okay with not knowing what that is.
No, I think that's really lovely and, oh, what a gift for the parents in your local gym at the Climbing Hangar. And I mean, and we've seen it here, like in Australia where our communities are, it's so nice to have those sessions. And, you know, quite a few of the gyms in our area, and I don't think you've started doing this in Sydney, but like have offered to open early for us so that we get a couple of hours where we don't have to worry about anyone else, you know, treading on toddlers or our kids getting in the way. And yeah, that's not just one gym. That's happened at several gyms in our area.
Yeah, I didn't know you were doing that.
Yeah. You should work on this, Eva. That's cool. Honestly, like if people offered it, which I think is so beautiful and such a lovely reflection on the climbing community, for the parents in your area to have also those little tidbits that you're giving them to play with. I think that, I mean, that's, I wish I was a climbing coach so I could give that to my people. Yeah. But that's just such a gift. That's amazing.
I mean, I will say the majority of the time I basically do this in the session. I'm just like, mum's going climbing, dad's going climbing, you wait here. Like, la, 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 la. But, you know, yeah, I do get to do a little bit of coaching as well. And actually, in a way, that's some of my most rewarding coaching work is actually just seeing that light bulb flick on. You know, someone being like, oh, I get it. Or like, this is cool, I want to come back. I'm like, there we go, my work's done for today. Tick. That's my tick for today. Yeah. So we'll see if this one wants to climb. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. But again, if he doesn't, then as long as he can swim, that's my non-negotiable.
I think that's a good non-negotiable. Yeah. Definitely in Australia, that's a general non-negotiable for all children.
Yeah. Don't have a choice in that one, mate.
Eva, do you have anything else that you want to ask Leah before we say a big thank you to her?
No. I think that was incredible, and I think we should just say a massive thank you.
Yeah, sorry, my brain just kind of go on tangents quite a lot, and I just like off this way and then off that way. Oh, but it's been really nice to actually sit and talk about this stuff because I've not done it. So
no, we love a good tangent, honestly. We actually we prefer guests to go on tangents because it's never hard to have a conversation with someone who likes going off on tangents. It's awesome.
Yeah, and I apologize for everyone listening to this one's background tones.
Yeah, like I'll edit out a little bit, but there's no way we're getting out all those raspberries. They were just amazing. No.
Cutest backtrack ever.
Well, thank you so much, Leah. It's been an absolute joy, and I wish we could kind of import you to Australia, but, you know, we'll just put you on the world tour that me and Eva are planning on doing, even though we have no way of funding it.
I was going to say, I'm all here for it. So let me, give me a shout if you make it happen.
Excellent. Well, Emily's already like promised to have beers with us in Sheffield. So, you know, that is already on our trip.
If you need a coach to travel around with you on your world tour, then let me know.
Okay. The sponsors that we keep talking to on every episode that we're like, whoever's out there, we now have Leah Crane.
It's happening.
Who wants to come and be the coach as we go around the world and meet amazing mums who climb. I love it.
Professional raspberry blower, Koa.
Yeah, and Koa's got to come too. I love it.
A huge thank you to our listeners at home, as always, for joining along. If you're enjoying these conversations, please, please, please head over to whatever platform you're using and give us a 5-star rating. I mean, you could give us less, but I think if you're going to give us less, just you don't need to rate. But if you're happy, give us a 5-star rating.
If you love our podcast, please let people know. If you don't, just keep it to yourself.
Keep that to yourself. Absolutely. No,
the world does not need more negativity at this point in time.
Next episode in a fortnight, we have the fabulous Chiara Jaritsma. She's a mum, a climber, and a dietitian, and she's got some pretty awesome advice.
Yeah, I love this conversation. It definitely got me thinking on a lot of levels, and it's been impacting me ever since. So tune in a fortnight. Until then, we hope you get some climbing in.